Sunday, the 20th of September 2020. Good morning and welcome to you, particularly if you're joining us through the webpage and you're not here in person in the chapel. This morning, the subject is Love is Patient, based on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 8. Let's pray as we come to God's word. Lord God Almighty, we thank you that you are gracious to us. You demonstrate in your own Son the character that you have of love. You show us again and again, Lord, how we should live. And we pray that you would help us as we read about love to respond and to put into practice all that we hear from you this morning. By your power and by your Spirit, we pray. Amen. Do you drive? If so, have you ever had an accident? Yes, of course. And it probably wasn't your fault, no doubt. Who hasn't had an accident? And what was the cause of that crash? Well, one insurance company, speaking for many, no doubt, says, having put a list together of the causes of road accidents, that the first on the list, the top of the list, is impatience. Impatience. Was that the cause for you? Was it impatience? Impatience crashes cars, but it also crashes relationships, dents them, takes the paint off. Today we start a new series, in between looking at people Jesus met and a walk through the apostle letters. And this new series is very practical, as it's all about how we relate to each other in the family, at school, in church, with neighbours, with everyone we meet. God is a God of love. He is love, and he calls you and I to love one another. And that requires patience. So let me ask you, are you patient? How patient you are is a simple measure of how loving you are. Three sections this morning: being patient, showing patience, being shown patience. Being patient, showing patience, being shown patience. So firstly, being patient. Love is patient. So let's be clear by what we mean with the word patience. And the word is used, translated, being or having patience, or being long-suffering. In other words, being of long spirit, not to lose heart, to persevere and endure misfortunes and troubles, to be patient in bearing the offences and injuries of others, to be mild and slow in avenging. And perhaps you're wondering why those in hospital are called patients. Well, the word comes from the Latin patientum, which means capable of enduring misfortune or suffering without complaint. In other words, they suffer there. And we read in our passage that love is patient. So patience is a key expression of love. As you can see, it's first on the list. So do you see yourself as a loving person? Did you answer yes earlier? If so, then you are a patient person. Proper love is other-centered. Love always, always does what is best for the other person, not me. For that is how God is. And this is difficult because we all naturally prefer what is best for me. Love said no. I will submit myself for him, for her, for them. So you can see this is tough stuff. And therefore love is not about feelings. Feelings are almost always against or oppose love. Love is not a feeling. It's a position. It's a determination to act in a certain way. Love is a decision that requires us to act contrary to our feelings. For example, you may feel annoyed, but you don't act on it and say something you shouldn't. Or you may not want to talk to somebody, but you do, and do so kindly. And in the Christian life, we act often so contrary to our feelings. You get out of bed in the morning not because you feel like it, but because you decide you should do. You acknowledge feelings, but you act on what is the right thing to do. So you may feel A, but you don't act A. You feel A, but you act B. So impatience is natural and reactive. Patience displays a disciplined will. So patience and everything else on the list you find there in 1 Corinthians 13 is contrary to our natural inclinations and feelings. Well, patience is in short supply in the world, and that's because love is in short supply. And the more ungodly society becomes, the more impatient. And the Lord predicts that the love of most will grow cold. And can't we see it all around? You know, you're in a traffic situation and somebody behind you gets impatient, they mount the curb and they race off. They just won't wait a moment longer. Or perhaps you're in a shop and there's a long queue at the checkout, and then suddenly somebody throws their shopping down and they stomp out impatiently. It's just too much. You will all have your own examples of that. Sadly, it becomes much more serious as impatience and unwillingness to bear with someone else becomes the reason behind unfaithfulness, adultery, marriage breakups, and so on. And the children don't see love worked out because mum and dad just won't bear with each other any longer. Wherever you find people engaging with each other, there will be breakups. And that includes the church. To be unloving is a sin, and God sees it. It's a sin you and I must repent of. Are you unloving towards others, and you know it in your heart? Then confess it to God and seek forgiveness. His shed blood on the cross is sufficient to forgive, if only you will look to him alone. There are some here who have never sincerely turned to Jesus with a whole heart, that he might change your heart, remove its hardness and soften it. Ask him to put love in your heart. Don't look for love in your own heart. You won't find it there. Look to God, who is love. Love and patience are from God and found in Jesus Christ. So when Christ does a work, it's a very real inner work. God poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given. So God pours out his love into our hearts. Has he poured out his love into your heart? If he hasn't, then you'll be empty. How can I know that I have received from God? It will show. The first thing is a change of attitude, a heart that desires to love God and therefore love others. Showing patience is how I show love for my brother and sister. That is how I show love for my neighbour. That is how I even show love for my enemy. And that is why Paul says we should bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And Paul says to the church in Ephesus, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. The more impatient those around are, the more amazing it is when you see somebody who is being patient. Paul is being very practical when he says that love is patient. You know, to understand what he means, let's have a look at the context. The church there has been given many gifts, in other words, abilities. And Paul says they have been enriched in their speaking and knowledge. They did not lack any spiritual gift. And they immediately concluded that because they had so much, that God was pleased with them. And so they patted themselves on the back. And it's an easy trap to fall into. Which is why Paul gives fair time to explain how these gifts were to be used in chapter 12 and chapter 14. And yet here in the middle, in the center, Paul is saying the main thing is not gifts, but love. Those gifts God has given you, he gives you as he determines, for his purposes, for his glory, and for the good of others. It's not about you. So they've got their fruit and gifts mixed up. If you are rooted in Christ, then love is the fruit. Every Christian must display love. If you don't love your brother, if you don't act in love, then you're not a Christian. That's it. Very clear in Scripture. In 1 Corinthians 11, we have the passage about the Lord's Supper, and Paul rebukes the church because some were impatient. When you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper you eat. For as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anyone else. You see, they were impatient. That's the immediate context, but it's also true in the context of the whole of the Bible, God's revealed word. Men and women of God have always shown patience. Take Abraham, for example, the man of faith. You can't look at his life without saying, here is a patient man. because faith equals patience. And we are told, and so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. So as Charles Swindoll says, true patience is waiting without worrying. And the Christian life is one of learning patience. If we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. And I'm often reminded that I'm so far from where I should be. One of the commitments I made publicly at our wedding was to teach Anna to drive. Two attempts, failure, complete failure. And it wasn't the student, it was the instructor. And in considering my failure, I asked the Lord to help me. The thing is, if you pray for patience, he will answer that, and yet he's going to give you challenges. For example, preparing this sermon. I thought it's time I took my mother out for lunch. So I took a break and we went out for lunch. And there we are, sat down outside, waiting to be served. The food arrived on the couple on the table in front. Those who arrived after us, their order was taken and food was on its way. Those in front of us, they'd actually finished their food, and yet we still hadn't had anybody come to our table to take an order. But I get it, Lord. This is exactly what I'm supposed to be learning. And I thought, well, I seem fairly calm on the outside. I took my kind of temperature. How was I doing? How long should I wait before saying something? How long would you wait? Can you still be patient and say something? Is patience the same as tolerance? I thought, perhaps I have shown patience and now maybe it's the time to say something. To help them, of course, so that they know. And then I thought, well, every time I've been here before, it's been fine. So should I say something? You see, speaking can be born out of anger and frustration and lack of control. But speaking can also be considered and calm, letting the staff know of the problem. I did a motive check. You see, God is in the business of reforming character. That is why he puts you and I in situations. It's not just now and then. It's continuous, or it seems to be like that. For time is short, and there's so much to be worked out or worked into my life to make me Christ-like. On the way home, car pulls out, stops me in the flow of traffic, and then drives off at 50 miles an hour. A good test for me. Patience. I have to learn it. And of course, Christ is the great example of patience, isn't he? He didn't respond to the taunt of the Pharisees. He did not lose his temper. He did not say things he should not say or walk off in a huff. He showed perfect patience, all of the time, in every situation. Patience can endure evil, injury, and provocation, forgiving again and again and again and again and again, without being filled with resentment, indignation, or revenge. And for us as a church, we're made up of saved sinners. We are growing up into Christ. And it's a slow process. And God is using each other, one another, to help, not hinder in this. And like any child growing up, it takes time and patience, overlooking the mistakes of others, bearing with people who are going at different speeds, adjusting to them, not trying to make them adjust to me. Different levels of uptake and understanding, so we adjust in conversation to theirs. Love always wants the best for the other person. I will rather wait and wish for the reformation of a brother than fly off in resentment of his conduct. And God gives us people to help us, doesn't he? Whether it's at work or at home. I, or we, look after my mother to honour the Lord. And he's added the benefit of free lessons in patience. Short-term memory loss means that things are repeated again and again. And you can sit down and have a meal, and you can have the same conversation you've had 100 and more times before. And you can be repeating it, maybe 5 times in 20 minutes. Who is it who's helping you with patience? Remember, the more the difficulty, the more the help. And the Lord will never give you more than you can cope with his all-sufficient grace. It's also true, the more difficulties you avoid, the less you will learn. If you live alone, doing what you want, when you want, for as long as you want, then engaging with church family is crucial. And I say engaging because that's God's workshop for our growth. You can't do that on Zoom. The Lord has intentionally brought us together, sinners with all our foibles, so we will be able to learn to bear with each other in love. Do not do as some do, that is, merely go to church and not engage with others. Rather, commit yourself to your brothers and sisters, even when it is difficult, especially when it's difficult. We can find ways of doing things together, for example, decorating the house. It's been good to work together to some degree, or other things we've been doing in the building. These are ways in which we can help each other. Genuine love makes my mind firm, gives me power over my angry passions, furnishes it with a persevering patience. Patient endurance promotes the peace and harmony of the church. How different that is from society around, where people only meet those they want to. And if there's no one I can find, can easily get along with, then there's always the dog. And I'm not exaggerating there, am I? And those outside, they avoid difficulties. And if there are difficulties in a relationship, for example, then I'll just walk. The result is to take the easy option. And if you do that, then we never develop or grow. Removing competitiveness or anything combative from schools or a child's upbringing means they won't grow. They will be ill prepared for the realities of life with all its frustrations and disappointments. And the result is impatience. That's why Scouts and Guides and Duke of Edinburgh and so on are good, because they develop character. The new interns at BCM, they've come for a year which will be stretching for them, but it doesn't say on the brochure that part of that stretching will be each other, learning to work together as a team. We've just been meeting a couple from Loggers Hope. And if you're on a ship together, there's nowhere to go. If you're sharing a cabin, think of that, what that person has to put up with all our cultural and strange habits. How would they cope if they were sharing a cabin with you? Patience, we're told, is the ballast of the soul that will keep it from rolling and tumbling in the greatest storms. Christlikeness will mean a patient submission to God's good will. In his book entitled The Patient Ferment of the Early Church, Alan Crider investigates patience as the prime quality displayed by the early church. He says patience was not a virtue dear to most Greco-Roman people, but it was centrally important to the early Christians. They talked about patience and wrote about it. It was the first virtue about which they wrote a treatise, and they wrote no fewer than three treatises on it. Christian writers call patience the highest virtue, the greatest of all virtues, the virtue that was peculiarly Christian. The Christians believe that God is patient and that Jesus visibly embodied patience, and they concluded that they, trusting in God, should be patient, not controlling events, not anxious or in a hurry, and never using force to achieve their ends. So these qualities have been displayed in the church right from the beginning. And we are patient because God is patient, very patient. And because he is patient, he can give you and I patience. May the God who gives endurance and patience and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among you as you follow Christ Jesus. You and I should suffer long because God has and is doing that with you. He's so long-suffering. How amazingly patient he is with each one of us. The first occurrence of the word patience in the Bible is in Nehemiah's prayer, where he says, "For many years you were patient with them." Talk about God and his people. "By your spirit you admonished them through the prophets." The Lord is so patient, just as a father is patient with his children. And my father was very patient with me when I was disrespectful and cold towards him. That's one of the main things I remember about him. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He is patient with you. And he's talking to Christians there. How patient the Lord was while God's people were sinning in the desert. How patient he was for centuries again and again as God's people were unfaithful to him. If God is patient with us, should we be patient with God? Sounds strange to say that, doesn't it? But we should, not because God does things wrong, but that we need to bear with him. It's the opposite, because he always does what is right. We need to bear with him. It is me who's impatient. The first use in the New Testament. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. Remember that passage, and God forgave him there in Matthew 18? Was he then patient with others? Not at all, no. He went off, didn't he, and treated the other man harshly. Do you expect God to be patient with you? Probably. Will you then be patient with others? Will you show Christ-like patience, looking long-term, not short-term? Looking to their benefit, not yours? Entrust the person and the situation to God and his sovereignty over everything, for he knows what he is doing. That is why we all need to learn to wait upon the Lord, for his timing is not my timing. Just ask Abraham and Sarah about Hagar. Wait, patiently wait. God is never late. The budding plans are in thy Father's holding, and only wait his divine unfolding. Then wait, patiently wait. His ways are not my ways, so I must wait on the Lord. Some of the greatest missionaries of all history have been faithful in spreading the seed of God's word, and yet they had to wait long periods before seeing anything, any fruit for their efforts. William Carey, for example, laboured 7 years before the first Hindu convert was brought to Christ in India. In Burma, Adoniram Judson toiled 7 years as well before his faithful preaching was rewarded. In Western Africa, it was 14 years before one convert was received into the Christian church. In New Zealand, it took 9 years. In Tahiti, it was 16 years before the first harvest of souls began. God wants us to see the results as we work for him. But his first concern is your growth. And that is why he often withholds success until you have learned patience. The Lord teaches us this needed lesson through the blessed discipline of delay. So if you profess to follow Christ, then it will show in your love for your brother and sister. How will they see that? In your patience, bearing with each other in love. Not crashed, dented relationships, but wholesome and good and God-honoring. What a wonderful testimony this is to an impatient, loveless world. What a joy it must be for your loving Heavenly Father to see this characteristic, his characteristic, displayed in his children. That is what attracted people to the Lord in the early church. And so it is today when they see how we, with all our peculiarities, loving bear with each other, seeking the best for each other. When people see that, they will take note and listen to what we say. May the Lord help us to be patient with each other. Amen.